Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That is downright mean. But we roll on. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, joined now by our friend from the Action Network, Evan Abrams, as we look forward to another weekend of sports, such as it is. There's some stuff. And I know Evan is a guy who's like, anything, let's go. I want to talk about it. I want to bet on it. I will find it for you. Let me edit. So he's perfect for these times, I would say. Evan, thanks for being with us, as always.
No problem. I mean, listen, if I was a GIF right now, I'd be the Undertaker, because sports are arriving. Sports are coming back. There's conversation, some more than others, but we are here, and it's getting a little exciting.
It is.
Do you think at all about how much of a creature of habit you are, or maybe sports fans are? Here's why I ask. I like NASCAR. I've liked it my whole life. I don't watch as many races as I used to, but I still, and especially during this, I even watched the iRacing when it was going on. But I'm such a creature of habit, Evan, that I do not. There was a race last night. There was a Cup Series race, and it's Wednesday night, and it's the second week in a row they've done that. And I knew it at 4 o'clock. I was sitting here doing the show, and I looked at one of my apps, and I knew there was a NASCAR. I was like, oh, great, NASCAR tonight. Never once last night did I think to go looking for where the NASCAR race was.
Well, listen, it wasn't shoved in your face, because they're racing tonight, too. We got rained out. So it wasn't even something you missed. Yeah, so okay. You got more racing. They're supposed to race tonight.
All right, who do you like? I mean, let's get to it.
Listen, I got a bunch of bets on the race, and the one thing you have to know when walking into the race is its length. Right now, you're really getting it compared to the Coca-Cola 600, which happened over the weekend, which is just a much longer race. So the three bets that I made, I like two favorites up top, probably take them top five, which hopefully you'd get at the plus side, maybe plus 105, plus 110. I like Truex and Elliott. I think both of them probably get it done. I like them at the top. And then the one long shot I'll probably look at is William Byron. I mean, he's the guy that dominated during iRacing. He won like three or five races and was really good there. But to be honest, the length of tonight's race is really something that gives him an advantage. So he could be out there at like 20 to 1, 18 to 1. So those are the three bets that I'm looking at.
The reason I asked the creature of habit question is I wonder if people who wager are the same way. Like,
no.
or are these races on weeknights? Like, you want to wager on them, you're ready to go. You know it's coming. You know it got rained out, and you're ready to go tonight, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is you prepare for these things. I mean, we have a sports calendar schedule. You know, we're looking at everything coming back. So, I mean, to me personally, every game and every sport, especially maybe some of these smaller sports, like forget NASCAR. I mean, when you're talking about maybe some esports and stuff like that, it's, you know, smaller handles and, you know, more opportunities. So, I mean, to me, it's just the calendar and keeping up with, you know, when what's coming back and what's getting rained out. And, you know, we're about to get golf back soon, June 11th. So it's about to get fun.
I want to ask you again. I think I did ask you this last week, but we're seeing so far in some of the soccer being played, that home field advantage is really just like not a thing. I mean, it was always something to try to figure out what accounted for it and then how pronounced is it depending on the sport or the venue. And it seems what we've seen so far in sports without fans is it's just like, nope, not even anything. Or maybe something that can fool you into what kind of analysis you might put into a game. So your thoughts on that and how that might play out once our sports start going again?
Yeah, I mean, this is a question. I feel like it's the main topic. But let's start with Bundesliga for a second, which, you know, you might look at as a model for what might happen in the States. But you're right, 12 road wins, 5 home wins, 10 draws. Home team scored first in just 5 of the 27 matches. I mean, listen, the way I look at this is that you're going to see some weird results when you talk about maybe hockey coming back. I mean, especially because there is no home court. There is no home ice. You know, there's going to be tournaments in Florida. There's going to be tournaments in these random cities. So, I mean, really, it almost becomes easier to handicap because you're really just handicapping who's on the court, who's on the ice, and relatively who's healthy, right? You feel like you're going to get some accurate reports. And that's the thing with the NHL and betting some of this as well. We just don't know anybody's status. You know, you haven't seen players play in months and months, and you haven't seen video. You haven't seen anything. So you're really making some assumptions and some leaps, which makes it difficult. So, I mean, there's tons of different factors. It almost makes it more exciting, guys.
Do you think...
Like attacking, yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you think underdogs will be sort of priced down because of that randomness, and maybe even the percentage of people that are gambling are more on the sharp side since it's just harder to do it, and maybe money isn't there for a lot of people, so things like that?
I mean, I think you nailed it. I still think you need to handicap. Like, when you look at the NHL right now and you look at their first-round format and the way they're playing the round-robin in the second round for seeding, I think the West is ripe. I think it's ripe for upsets. So I think I'm willing to take more shots in the West, a Dallas, a Chicago, a Minnesota, because I think especially with a shorter series, 5 games, I think you could see some flops. I think you could see 12 over 5s and 10s over 7s. You know, I don't think Vancouver's that hot, but I think, again, it's matchup over matchup, and there's no home ice. So you're really just looking at talent.
Yeah, it remains to be seen what they end up doing, but I wonder just how compacted everything will be, too. I mean, I don't think we'll get to where they're playing. A team has to play 2 games in 1 day, but normally the playoffs, the flow of the playoffs is play, off day, play, off day. And that even gets stretched out some, too, but very rarely, unless there's real building problems as far as availability goes, do you get a series playing on back-to-back nights. I wonder if we might actually get that by design this time.
Oh, yeah, I bet so, yeah.
I think you're going to have to, right? I mean, I think that's the only way to try to get this done, try to get the games moving on and get in some sort of flow, right? I mean, it's going to be weird enough coming back after such a long hiatus and trying to resume the season. So I do think they're going to, you know, they're going to try to pack it all in, especially in, you know, 1 arena, 2 arena, 3 arena in the same sort of bubble. But I think the uncertainty which we have right now, we just don't know so much. So when you don't know so much, I'm more willing to take more shots on underdogs. I just am.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Evan Abrams with us from the Action Network. Let's talk NFL here. So NFL has kind of just gone along with the draft and free agency and everything. We've got a schedule. And nothing in the last week since we talked last makes it seem any less likely that there'll be a season here. So we're proceeding somewhat, relatively anyway, as normal. Are there certain prop bets that you have your eye on? Maybe 2 or 3, Evan, be they individuals, team totals, what?
Sure. I mean, let's look at the NFL in terms of a league for a second. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to do anything. They can sit back and kind of watch everyone scramble because they're pretty much the farthest one out right now. And they can say, hey, 2020's coming. Fans will be there. And then, you know, if you have to adjust, you adjust. But they're in kind of a perfect position, whereas college football, so much to figure out, and as we talked about, the other sports are kind of fumbling at the goal line to try to get something together here. When you talk about bets, I think I mentioned this the other time, but I'm still on it. I like the Jets under. It has a lot to do with their non-conference schedule. It has a lot to do with what I think is going to be a much better Miami team, a just as good Buffalo team, and I guess I can say New England will be all right. I mean, I don't like New England as a team in the conference, but I think they'll be good enough to try to knock down the worst team in the division, which would be New York. So that's the one bet I really do like. And when you're talking about making the playoffs, I think an interesting shot here is Atlanta at +210. That division is such a turnaround, and I think after the bad luck and really bad play they had last year, I think they're probably due for a decent turnaround. So I like them at plus money.
Yeah, I like that. How about, are you looking at individuals much? Individual prop bets, players?
Sure, some amount, yeah.
I wonder...
what do you think? What are you thinking?
Well, I was listening to a podcast, I should name it, give it credit, Jeff Ratcliffe at PFF, who I like to listen to a lot. He was talking about some passing yard props, a couple of receivers too. He put, as I'm trying to remember it, he put Brady up at around 4,200. Now, I don't know where these are. Maybe there's enough books out there where there could be a real range. But he had Brady up at like 4,200 for passing yards or even higher maybe. And he made a point about how as big a number as that is, he liked the over on that. That was one that I remember.
Listen, the thing that's tricky, so I'm looking at it right now on FanDuel. Brady's at 4,224.5. So right about that 4,200 number. I think the trickiest thing with Brady, truthfully, the trickiest thing with him, it's the move from New England to Tampa, but it's how bad he played last year. Like, when you look at those numbers and you start to do career comparisons, it's the worst we've seen Brady in so long. So it's trying to calculate his weapon increase, which is massive. I mean, there are so many targets on that Tampa team that everyone is going to look at Brady and think overs. I think Tampa's going to think overs. I think those games are going to be in the 50s because of that offense, at least, you know, off the top. So I think right away I'm probably in stay-back mode. When it comes to Brady, I would wait closer to the season, hope it gets juiced up a little bit, and probably look at an under. I actually like Tampa. I have a personal bet with a friend of mine on Tampa to have more wins. I think I got them at +1 over New Orleans. I like their defense. I like their team. But I don't think necessarily Brady needs to explode for them to do well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I like thinking about him, Evan, because, you know, I think what we tend to do with an all-time great player, you know, it's easy to make the point about what kind of weapons he had last year in New England. They were the cupboard was not stocked, but you also have to watch how he threw the ball, I think, too, right? And he didn't throw the ball that well, and that's not just to me weapons necessarily. So I'm not expecting him to have an explosive year just because he's got Mike Evans to throw the ball to now.
I mean, I think it's going to help because he really hasn't had those targets in a long time. And to be honest with you, when you look at their strength of schedule, it gets much, much easier as the season goes on. The first 3 weeks, 23rd, 14 through 16, 7th, and 15 through 16 is the easiest schedule in the NFL. So, I mean, to me, that does favor Brady a little bit. If you're limping to the finish line, you might get over the prop in that sense. But, again, you're going with the flow if you're taking overs in Tampa.
What about the NBA, Evan? Are you thinking about some of the rumors about their format much? One thing that's occurred to me, it seems that a little bit like hockey, they might be expanding the playoff field, and you could have some interesting stars, particularly in the Western Conference, benefit from that. I wonder if there's anything to do yet.
It's tough. So we just wrote an article on the Action Network, Matt Moore, basically breaking down all the different types of formats that the NBA can come. And there's just so many options. You could go regular and have 5 regular season games. You could come out with a 1-16. You know, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer was talking about the World Cup group stage model. There's so much uncertainty right now in terms of how they're going to play. And they're supposed to make a decision or some sort of decision in the next day or so. So we're supposed to get a little bit more clarity. But I don't know if you guys saw the 1-16 bracket and how that would look. But boy, did that, you know, impact like the Bucks. Like, you know, so much depends on what the bracket looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really hard to dive into that market right now.
Yeah, you might have a pretty good chance at a Western versus Western final.
Really good. And when you looked at it the other way, everyone, now think about this, everyone who has Bucks futures walking into, you know, Corona and this whole thing, you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, okay, they're going to get through the East, and, you know, that's why you made the bet. Now all of a sudden the bracket's jumbled. It's a little messed up. It's a little, you know, it's all a bit of a mess.
Do we know what, speaking of futures, like, I don't mean to jump around on you, but, like, you know, we're talking about hockey here for a bit, and I wonder what happens to, like, if I had over under 80 points on somebody, like, what is the status of all that stuff now that the regular season is officially done?
Well, basically, listen, it's book by book. That's really the easiest way it's house rules. So it's a little bit tough. Like, BetMGM came out and said the following future markets will remain unchanged: Stanley Cup champions, conference champions, and season award winners. But everything else is up in the air, and they're going to void all tickets. So I think it really depends on, you know, which way you looked at or which book you bet on. But that's the same thing you're going to talk about with the NBA, though. It makes it a really difficult case to try to bet. Now, you know, you can sit here. I'm looking at right now DraftKings has odds up for every NBA team. And, you know, based on what format you believe in or you think could be approved, there definitely is value. Like, you can bet on New Orleans right now at 200-1, but in some formats, New Orleans isn't even going to make the playoffs. So it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, don't bet them if they don't make it. Everyone.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's going to help.
Don't do that. What's your opinion of that MGM ruling you cited? To me, that sounded reasonable.
Yeah, I think it is 100% reasonable. Listen, this is a time of not being reasonable, right? This is a time of chaos. You know, everyone's dealing with this the same way. But let's be clear. Some books are dealing with it a lot of other ways. I can't remember the book off the top of my head, but I believe they accepted all yes tickets on to make the playoffs, and said it was one of the biggest losses they've ever had.
Wow.
So, I mean, listen, different books are dealing with this in different ways. And the thing is when the NBA makes their decision, because the NBA is such a bigger market and so much more bet is put into that pool, I mean, that decision is going to be much bigger than the NHL one, especially when it go book to book by book. And obviously, as you guys know, you know, these are all legal books, so, you know, this is a tough way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, the idea when we started with Evan back in the fall was there's sports betting now in Western New York, so this is going to, you know, be relevant and useful to way more people than before, and then everything is closed, although it may not be that much longer while it's closed, but it still is. So you have to go back to the old way, kind of, which is either offshore or be in one of these other states. That, by the way, certain states are, it's still kind of moving forward, isn't it, for sports gambling legal in states? I know that the crisis has just sort of thrown everything off, but I think I'm still reading about certain states passing the legislation.
It is wild out there. It is the wild, wild west, and everyone's jumping aboard. Yesterday, Louisiana jumped aboard, and literally about an hour ago, Ohio passed the House to the Senate. So Ohio's coming, and it's basically done. You know, it's going to be a little while before it goes live, as there's a bunch of, you know, hurdles to get through there. But these states are coming, and they're coming fast. And honestly, the only thing that really matters when these states come aboard is online. The ability to online bet and mobile is the key to this whole thing. It just got passed in D.C., but D.C. is run by the lottery. So, you know, right now you have a company called Gambet who basically, you know, we wrote an article today that they've got, you know, -118 lines on both sides, which
bad.
Isn't exactly a pretty sight. So you're really going to see a lot of differences state by state.
Yeah, in New York, we never got there. We never got there with the mobile at the time of the shutdown. So, you know, you're kind of, like I said, you're kind of back at the beginning, at least as far as I know.
Right. Where do you think?
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, New York is in a, you know, big hole right now. I mean, the numbers that you see that what Jersey's been able to do on mobile compared to New York's, you know, possibility is just astronomical. So it's a lot of money they're missing out on. But I'm thinking 2021, I think they probably find a way.
Would you bet on baseball coming back at all this season, or would you go no?
Holy mackerel. I mean, not if you've read the news the last few days, right? I mean, this looks like an absolute bloodbath. This looks like a war. So, I mean, if you're going to read, I'm going to say no. I say no is the favorite. I just think there's too many hurdles. Every other sport's finding a way and figuring it out, and baseball is just screaming at each other. It just looks like a bad divorce. So I would probably bet on no.
The other way around at Bet Online, at least in the email we got today, that no was 3-1. Maybe that's worth looking into if you feel strongly.
I think a delay at some point. I think you're in a bit of a holding pattern. I think they're going to also wait and see how this NHL and NBA announcements go, mm-hmm. and how their format looks.
Right. It's going to be July before hockey players even like sort of get to work on their expanded playoff thing. Mid-July, it was reported today as well. All right, Evan, we covered a lot, I think. Any questions for us?
No, listen, you guys just stay good, stay healthy, mm-hmm. stay well, and let's hope for mobile.
Let's hope. Talk to you next week, hopefully. Thank you, Evan.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Evan Abrams from the Action Network, Evan H. Abrams. I have money on a FanDuel account, but I can't use it unless I'm in a state where it's legal. Mm-hmm. And I put money in because of a promotion that was available, but I never used it. It's not because of the pandemic. It just happened that way. And now I'm thinking again, like talking to Evan sort of reminds me that I have that and should do something, but I don't know what. Do I want to bet on auto racing, really?
Like, you want to drive to Pennsylvania?
I do want to drive to Pennsylvania. That's the one thing I know. I just don't know what I want to bet on when I get there. I do want to drive there. I love that idea.
I don't know what time the green flag flies on this NASCAR race tonight, but maybe you got time.
Oof. I'll have to do some research real quick here.
Call Buchanan.
Always. Always. Get the expert opinion. Jack Eichel, Rasmus Ristolainen, and other Sabres talking about another lost season for the team. Eichel especially strong in some of his comments today about how it's gone here in 5 years for him. We invite your calls on the subject, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Before we do that and get you an update, want to take a minute and talk about Colton RV. North Tonawanda, Orchard Park, online, ColtonRV.com. 50 years plus in Western New York, serving camping enthusiasts and making many new ones. Camping for me was not something I grew up doing, but through my relationship with Colton, had a few different experiences at different places, not too far away, within a couple of hours. And those are just great family memories. And I would think, especially, this is the case in my home, we talk about it, especially with this situation, the importance of getting outside and getting together when it will become appropriate to do those things is even greater. It's magnified. So Colton RV is the name to know for camping. More than 650 new and pre-owned travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, and motorhomes to choose from. If you were to visit their locations, improved sanitation services, virtual trade appraisals if you go the online route, hands-free delivery as well, and always the best selection and prices in the market. Colton RV, North Tonawanda, Orchard Park, ColtonRV.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
.com, 50 years, three generations, one family.
If I think my whole career in Buffalo and before I came to Buffalo, I'm not sure if I ever been in a team where has been a winning culture. So sometimes you ask the question, what is it? I mean, I haven't really seen it before or in Buffalo. This year we built our culture a little bit better than the previous years, but I don't know if many of our guys, we're young. I don't know if a lot of guys have been in winning teams or winning organizations. Personally, I haven't. And unfortunately, the team I played when I was back in Finland, it was in the same position. Coach got fired every year. Players got traded. GM got fired. So I don't really know. What is it? I haven't seen it. I wish.
Wow. Rasmus Ristolainen, can we just replace the word culture with record throughout that commentary? I don't know if I've been on a team with a winning record. It's not the same thing, or it is. But I mean, he's pretty good there. And again, Ristolainen, and I look forward to the opportunity to say this because I've been so critical of him as a player. When he's interviewed, it's like the most interesting guy to listen to, maybe on the team. Maybe on the team for a long time, I would say, is Ristolainen. Would you have a different name for that?
Leonard was pretty good while he was here.
That's true.
But he was not here for that long. Eichel's really growing on me quite a bit. I mean, Ristolainen in the locker room, like he'll give you a pretty blunt force answer to, like, you know, how are you feeling? How did that feel? How did you play? I think he's a good answer. I don't have a better one at the ready that's still on the team.
Well, here he is. I mean, he and Eichel feeling some confidence in really calling out the whole thing. They both were positive toward Ralph Kruger today, and I don't know if any player really wasn't. Jeff Skinner was too. Kruger got a lot of credit today. He speaks tomorrow, by the way. But the overall, and Eichel's comments are more important than Ristolainen's. I think that's pretty obvious why they would be. And, you know, he is speaking also in very stark terms about playing here. I ask this not because I've wanted it to be one yet, but is it still not a topic of conversation what Eichel's future looks like and whether he is somebody that the Sabres would move? That has not been anything that I have taken seriously or that we've talked about, which is maybe the same thing. I don't know. I don't think you've ever really taken that idea seriously either.
No, I mean, I don't think that they I would not expect at all, as inept as some of what they've done can be described as, I don't think that they would look to shake up the team by trading Jack Eichel for like four guys or something. I just don't think that would be something that they would think was a good idea. Again, despite the fact that they've had a lot of ideas that were bad that they thought were good. But I don't know if, every year that goes by, this year was the first year that when – you know, whenever the chatter, it's mostly Twitter, would fire up about he's going to ask to get out of here and what are we going to do then? This was the first year that I started actually, I would pause and think about it and then go, okay, they don't have to do anything, so they probably won't, but he could make it really tough on them if he wanted to. And so I'm always reluctant to talk about it because I feel like I'm giving someone out there listening the impression that I think he's thinking that or wants out or anything. And I don't
same here.
Think that or know that, but an athlete in his predicament, right? He's an inarguably great player and the franchise is spinning its wheels. And at what point before he's into the middle of his career does he try to do something about it? You know, like, I got to get out of here. This is never going to work. And I'm going to be 30. And maybe the closer you get to that, the more, you know, the bigger that gets in the window, the more urgency there becomes. So I'm sitting with that now. Like, I don't just dismiss that out of hand anymore. But I'm not really prepared to do much more with it than that because, like I said, I don't have anything that tells me he's thinking that or wants to do that. It's just anecdotal. Great player, lousy team, spinning wheels, and eventually get me the bleepity bleep out of here. could happen. And, you know, what they would do with that, I mean, I don't know. But depending on how he would handle something like that, if it came to pass, that might dictate what they would do. So it's a thing now to me that I've got to get good soon enough to keep him from wanting to go play somewhere else. I mean, I think he could just he could absolutely not feel that at all. Just think like they're paying me $80 million. I'm gonna just do my best and keep my head down. But I don't know, another year. Like what if next year, you know, is another year like this, and now it's 6 years. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, the meter's running fast on that. The further we go,
the meter is accelerating.
It's, right, it's going faster.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean,
I think anyway, but I don't, you know.
I am of two minds at this point. I'm so defeated by this. Maybe like Eichel is, you know, not in the same level, but like all of us are so defeated feeling by this that on one hand, the Sabres have traded Dominic Hasek. I mean, the Sabres have seemingly somehow so often been on the defensive with their best players. Maybe that's not exactly the way to put it right now, but we're talking about the potential for that. Mm-hmm. O'Reilly was this. The team couldn't win, and O'Reilly, in his way, snapped. And I guess they felt like they had no choice. That would be wrong, but that's how they acted. And he was owed money, and that was a part of that too. But there have been lots of these with the Sabres. There have been lots of these.
There's way more of them than not, right? Like, not every case is the same. Guys age out, and they get moved at the end. But, like, you know, Gilbert Perreault played his whole career here. And is a, you know, is a franchise icon, but like everybody else that ever really met, Mogilny was great. He got traded. LaFontaine eventually got traded. Mike Foligno got traded. I'm going down a list of captains. Danny got traded. Lindy got traded. They all got traded.
Drury and Briere. So, it's not just traded either. It's like sometimes it's bitter.
Right.
Mogilny and LaFontaine and Drury and Briere. Like those are bitter endings.
Yep.
Hasek.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hasek's on his own level.
Right.
You know, and they gave him away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't. That doesn't have to mean anything to this situation. And, you know, somebody's out there going, yeah, Wayne Gretzky got traded.
Well, like, here.
Okay.
That was, I was thinking about him. Like, on one hand, how would they come out better for doing something like that? Right? On the other, one of these old games I fell into in the last few weeks was the game when the Oilers clinched the cup in Boston in 1990, the Bill Ranford year.
Okay.
And Gretzky was traded the year before. And I'm watching that the end of that game, which is the end of that series, and the Oilers win that series, I think, in five in the Boston Garden without Gretzky, their last cup without Gretzky, or their last cup, and they're only without him.
Right.
And Harry Neal on the CBC broadcast, as that game is playing out, they're well ahead, and it's like sort of a cruise control to the end. He says, the lesson of this team is no one player is bigger than a team. And you can trade Wayne Gretzky off your team and still win the Stanley Cup, like, immediately after that. Mm-hmm. And so, at the same time, you know both of these things. Jack Eichel is such an elite player that the Sabres would probably just be scared to death to do anything like that. And, you know, with good reason. But would that be the death of them? They're already terrible and have only been terrible since he got here in 5 years. So what can you say to that? This is reminiscent of the Bills drought when they did not have a Jack Eichel on their team at any point during the drought. But it doesn't matter what you do because you're losing anyway. You can do anything when you're losing. You have all the freedom when you're losing. You can trade Ryan O'Reilly for Vladimir Sobotka and just, you know, okay, well, we're losing. And what was the reaction to that? It was, I would say, pretty favorable when the Sabres did that.
Something new. That was dramatic. Okay, yeah, right.
Something new, good for them, sticking up for themselves. If he's going to pout, we don't need him. And, you know, in a sense, they didn't need him because they were bad, and they're still bad. In another, he went to the Conn Smythe Trophy in no time. Like, what, was he a good player? So you want to make it work. That's obvious. But Eichel does have a lot of power. And even with that contract doesn't mean the Sabres could just wait him out forever. That contract, you know, gives them some leverage, but if he didn't want to play, what are they going to do about it?
Right.
Just sit there and, well, that's Pekka. By the way, he wasn't mentioned. He's a pretty good example for that list.
Right, of course, right. Another captain. Right.
With different owners and different everything else's, this franchise has had an incredible talent for running off, like in these weird, bitter ways, their best guys, many of their best guys ever. And then they come back and smile, and they get their banner, their number retired, you know, eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice moment. So I don't know. I mean, Eichel, you can't blame him for being fed up. That's how he put it. He said, "I'm fed up with the losing." Like, well, who would blame him? Who in hockey? You go to Twitter and read people who are not Sabres fans, and they're all like, "Come on over, let's go. Let's go get Jack Eichel. They must be desperate."
Right. I mean, I don't know again how he feels deep down inside or even on the surface. I may have no idea. I mean, I can listen to him talk, and he does reveal a lot in talking about how angry or frustrated he is with the situation. But I don't really know, like, if he's sitting around thinking about it. But what I would bet heavily on having happen and continuing to happen is guys in the league on other teams just sort of, dude, what are you doing there? Like, that, it would blow my mind if that isn't happening. Right, like he's buddies with Shifley, say, right on Winnipeg, and if just like guys just razzing each other because guys are guys and hockey players are guys to begin with, like just like, dude, you gotta get out. You should go to Toronto. You should go to Boston. You should go to wherever. You just gotta get out of there. What is happening there? I would be stunned if stuff like, and he might just shut it down, and say like, I love it here. Shut up, you know, it's on me or something. Who knows? But I would be surprised if his friends in the league aren't just sort of teasing him with, dude, what's the story over there?
Yeah, it would not be like personal toward him. It would just be sort
no,
of,
right? Yeah, just you're better than this. You got to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's happening.
I wouldn't either. At the same time, the Sabres are not like, it's not in the pre-cap era where they shouldn't have a chance. You know, when Hasek was here, it's like, well, we're not going to spend the money to keep up, and the Sabres are kind of like, yeah, you're right. and that has not been the case here yet, at least. So it's a different problem. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
The person I got to give the most credit to is our head coach, Ralph. Just being around him every day, the way that he handles himself, being able to learn from him, being able to build a relationship and go to him for things and advice. And I think it's been so big for me. He's, you know, one of the greatest natural born leaders that I've ever been around on a day-to-day basis, the way that he, you know, looks at life, never mind hockey. So it's been a pleasure working with him, and, you know, I couldn't be happier to, you know, have him as a coach.
Jack Eichel on Ralph Krueger. We'll talk some more next hour about Eichel and the Sabres as they enter what could be a very long off season that really they entered 2.5 months ago, as it turns out. I want to say that while I think it's at least reasonable to question some of Krueger's tactics as a coach, I appreciate, well, first, I certainly respect his mind. I mean, that's been something that's been kind of like constant since Krueger was hired. He has a good mind. I also like the guys who say things like that about him. I like Eichel for that. I like that, not just because it's like a gratuitous player about a coach comment. I mean, it might be on some level, but I'm going to say that, just like we talked about yesterday with this stuff, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he means it. And I feel like if you are impressed with Krueger in the ways that Eichel is describing, it speaks well of you. Like, natural born leader, he's not Mike Ditka, right? He's nothing like that. Joe, you know who Mike Ditka is?
I do. Yeah. He was the Saints coach once.
He was the Saints coach, exactly. Very good. But he's the opposite.
That's
kind of
how
the,
you would.
Yeah. He's kind of the opposite of that. And I like a guy who, I like a player who appreciates him.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, look, lineup decisions, you know, there are things for sure. You know, you don't know for sure. I know the GM always says the coach is deciding what to do there, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was some pressure to play a guy like Bogosian, hoping to drive up his value or something. And Kruger just thought, okay, well, the difference isn't so significant. I'll just do this so my boss is happy. I don't know, whatever. I don't want to make excuses for him. There are some dubious decisions. But, yeah, I thought at some point before this thing was even, you know, the shutdown was even on our radar, the year that Jack was having, while it's certainly possible that he would have just evolved into this player that he was pacing towards, like being in the MVP conversation, I wouldn't want to look past the coach having something to do with that. You know, that maturation process and helping him understand how to handle everything that's in front of him, whether it's preparation, communication, all of it. I would think that if Kruger has Eichel's trust, then I'm a Kruger backer. Because Eichel is the thing for us. Like, we're going to sink or swim, and I know we've been sinking, but it's still true that he matters more than anyone else in this equation. And I also, you know, I like Kruger's style. I liked the hire, so I'm probably going to go maybe farther than someone who dismissed him as a soccer guy, kind of ignorantly, would go. But I believe Eichel, and that endorsement means a lot to me. And all the other players, too, but especially Jack. And I would want to give Kruger some credit for Jack turning into, like, a player that was, again, pacing towards 100 points for a season, which is a big step.
If they only could find analytics God, though, because it's still not a good team. It's still not a good record, and I like all that, but the guy still did not put out a good team. So the quest continues. 803-0550, Sabres and more next hour. Is there... I'm going to try too hard. Car washes. I brought up car washes the other day. I got a question about them.
All right.
Maybe today's the day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.